Two people in eastern Russia told the Washington Post on Friday that they recognized one of the men suspected of poisoning former spy Sergei Skripal and his daughter earlier this year in England. They say he is a decorated military officer. And if that's true, it would back up the British government's claim that the two men behind the attack are Russian military intelligence officers. Russia says they're just civilians. The British investigation that identified the men relied on footage from closed-circuit television. And to help crack the case, Scotland Yard used a group of detectives known as super recognizers, people with an uncanny ability to remember a face. And that got us wondering, how does that work? Josh Davis studies super recognizers in the psychology department at the University of Greenwich. Hi, Josh.
Hello.
And Kenny Long, who used to be a detective in the new Scotland Yard super recognizer unit. Kenny, welcome to you.
Hiya.
And you are a super recognizer, is that right?
I certainly am, yes.
How in the world does that work?
I haven't got a clue. I'm quite lucky. I can see a face, and if I see it once, I will remember that face again.
Really? So if you saw me on the street, for instance, in 1986 when I was 5 years old and then we met again today, would you recognize me?
I'd be quite confident. We've done quite a lot of tests, many tests with Josh, and I'd be quite confident I could do that.
When did you realize you had that skill?
I didn't realize until I was working in the police, and I was told to go up to New Scotland Yard and get some testing done with Dr. Josh Davis because I was doing very well identifying people from closed circuit television, and I didn't have a clue that I could do it until that point.
Really? So, and how does it work for you? If you just see a little bit of someone's face, like an ear sticking out from beneath a cap, for instance, or an eyebrow, is that enough?
It certainly is. You'd be quite amazed. I've actually identified people from the back of their head for burglaries before. So, it is a very strange ability. But when it comes off, you're very excited. The thing is, every single time I look at a face, I get an identification, I notice someone. It's like being a rock star in your sort of own world. So for a rock star going on stage, that's exciting for them. Put me in a room full of people and pictures, that's amazing for me.
You like that?
I absolutely love it, and all super recognizers do.
It's not a burden. So in other words, I see thousands of faces every day. I wouldn't want to remember each of the details that I pick up.
It can be a burden, to be quite honest, because you could be walking down the high street and someone would walk in towards you. They might smile, so you think, I know that person because you recognise the face, but you don't actually know them. So you go and say hello to them. They're like, I don't really know you. The problem is, because if you're walking in the same area quite often, you'll see the face, you'll recognise the face.
Huh. Do you have to commit the face or the details of the face to memory, or is it involuntary?
It's involuntary. You don't really have to try. You can just be walking down the street, you'll see that face so many times, I've recognized them years later.
And you didn't know this until you were working with the police as a grown man? It wasn't something that you recognized when you were a kid that, oh my gosh, I've got this strange talent?
No, that's totally correct. I did not have a clue. I thought that everybody could do this. I thought it was a natural ability for everyone. And so I didn't have a clue. But the second I found out I was a super recognizer after doing the tests with Dr. Josh Davis at Greenwich University, that's all I've thought about ever since.
Huh. You, as you say, took these skills to your police work. And let's talk about this case of the Russian spy poisoning in Salisbury. Of course, you were not involved in this investigation, but take us inside that department. How would this have played out behind the scenes?
So firstly, I know the guys dealing with it would have been very excited because the whole point is they're going to get lots of footage to view. And for us, that's a very exciting thing because that gives us time to review the CCTV. We know we've got to look for certain people, or if not, we've got to identify people from the footage. So we'd use many different techniques like linked series identification, whereby we keep going through the footage until we notice anomaly, so a same person appearing. And obviously, because we're super recognisers, we'll recognise that person. That would go to memory. Then if we see that person again in another bit of footage, we'll start building a picture and then we can start seeing, is that the person we're looking for?
Now, London, as you well know, is one of the most surveilled cities in the world. There's some estimates that there's something like a million CCT cameras capturing hours and hours of footage every single day of the year. How important is that trove of evidence for you as a detective in that unit?
I think it's absolutely brilliant. It's estimated about 1.5 million cameras now in London, and I think it's absolutely marvellous because being on that super recognised unit, which I was, we used to get so much CCTV come through to us. pictures of suspects, but also we're not always looking just for suspects. Sometimes we have to look for victims, we're looking for missing persons, and having all that CCTV available to you really helps solve crimes and find people.
Well, what kind of cases did you crack?
A really good one was there was a male who was one of Scotland Yard's most wanted, and he was believed to be out of the country at the time. So I was in London, and I've seen a car drive past me, and I've actually noticed a suspect. I'd never met them before, but I'd seen a picture of them before. So I've gone around in the police car, pulled him over. He's given me false details, but straight away I've realised it was him. And he'd been stopped several times by other police officers who hadn't recognised him, being London's most wanted. But luckily, straight away, I got him in cuffs. When we took him back for fingerprinting, it confirmed it was him.
People probably shocked when you tell them how you found them.
We did get that quite often. We even had one guy right from prison. I can't believe you got me for that one. So they do appreciate it. It's a very unique skill.
Wow. Josh Davis, let's bring you in again from the University of Greenwich. What does the science say about how this works?
Well, the science says we think this is sort of innate. We think that super recognizers are less than 1% of the population. Very, very few people have this ability. We've found some very small differences in the way that their brains function. And I think that's the sort of direction that the research may be going in future.
Is it a matter of having a very, very good memory, or is it a completely different function of the brain altogether?
We think it's a different function. It's quite an interesting question, that, because people have done research on world champion super memorizers who perhaps can count hundreds of packs of cards or something like this. And when they tested their face recognition ability, they found that they were not very good at all. Hmm. On the other hand, super recognizers seem to have average IQ. They seem to be average at recognizing other types of objects, recognizing sort of streams and numbers and words and things like that. So it does seem as though it's a unique skill that is specific to faces.
Would there be an evolutionary reason why humans might develop a skill like this?
No, in fact, almost the opposite, because as you could imagine, in sort of prehistory, people lived in very, very small communities. Needing to know a large number of faces wouldn't have been very necessary. So that's a sort of strange situation as far as the science is concerned. It may be that what's happened is the part of the brain associated with other aspects of object recognition has somehow changed slightly in these super recognizers to become very, very good at face recognition. But that's a hypothesis. That's not the science, definitely.
Well, look, computers can be trained to recognize faces as well. How does the human brain compare to what artificial intelligence can do?
Okay, so with very, very good, high-quality images, computers are operating at about the same level as an average human being. Super recognizers are still better than the best computers in the world. But with low-quality images, which most CCTV footage is, human beings still beat computers. I think in the future, what the situation is going to be, it's the best algorithms working with the best humans, the super recognizers, to make the most accurate identity decisions.
What are the limitations that people like Kenny have?
So a human being needs to sleep, unlike a computer. We get tired, fatigue. There must be a limit to how many images and how many people Kenny can see before he does get fatigued. So that's one limitation of humans. What's really, I think, impressive about Kenny's skill is his ability to rule out the huge number of faces that he knows are not of interest to him. Because obviously when they're searching through CCTV footage for a suspect, for a target, most of the time they're actually looking at faces of people they're not interested in. That is what a super recognizer can do.
Josh, I know you've worked with Scotland Yard in the past. We know they're recruiting people like Kenny from within the force to be tested for this skill, but what about other places? Do you see super recognizers being used in this country, in the FBI, for example, or are you noticing this getting some traction in smaller police departments around the world?
Yeah, we have worked with one Asian police force and also a German police force. It's almost certain that every large police force in the world will have some super recognisers, just because they seem to be evenly spread around the population. We've tested large number of Americans. We have found American super recognisers. Whether or not any of them are in the police, I do not know. So, yes, they solved so many crimes, thousands of crimes in London. Why not in New York, in Boston, anywhere else?
Kenny, you're not with Scotland Yard anymore, but I wonder how unlocking this skill, and really, I guess now an identity, there's a name for you as a super recognizer, what it's done to change your life.
Personally, I'm really, really happy. It's really changed my life. My life is 24/7 super recognizers, but what I notice is everyone who is a super recognizer really loves what they do. Everyone is very enthusiastic and everyone wants to get it right. So I think that's what's really important.
Oh. Kenny Long, former super recognizer with the New Scotland Yard, and Josh Davis, who studies this fascinating phenomenon for the psychology department at the University of Greenwich. Gentlemen, thanks to you both. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye now.
Think you're a super recognizer? We've got a test here at now.org.